Hello, everyone. It's been a while since I've been able to do a podcast, so it's been weird for me. But in terms of my life, I'm no longer anything of what you saw. Well, let me correct that. In terms of the tragedy that was happening in my life, within the past couple of years, it's been fine. I'm no longer homeless. Everything's fine in my life, and I'm doing well. I have a job, and it's going okay. I finally got myself out of that situation. I was able to get myself out, thankfully. And my partner stuck with me along the way. So things worked out. But overall, I started realizing there was a lot of horrible things happening around the world. And I started realizing, I cannot just stop talking. I started realizing a couple of other things as well, that I have a couple of fans. I didn't know that there are people in the world listening to me, including in places like Germany. I was so shocked. I didn't know what to say. But hey, everyone. And I hope you guys are still listening and will hopefully come back to this podcast once again, because I am going to revamp it. And it's going to be the same message throughout the podcast that hasn't changed, but overall it's the tactic is going to be very different. And of course that's important. Obviously you can't pretend that as life throws you things, you're not going to adapt to it. Of course I am, and I did. So what I want to start this whole new revamp of my podcast is beginning with this whole concept of, it's very easy to start the Israel-Palestine situation. Let's start with the situation in China. You spoke about China before. What about Iran? What's going on in Venezuela? Between Venezuela and, British Guyana. Well, all that for this podcast, unfortunately for me, because I have to put my thoughts in proper order. I have to elaborate myself and allow my my thoughts to expand as the podcast begins to revamp itself. And on top of that, I have to do very honest things about myself. I have to be very honest to myself and to you all as well. It's not like as if I don't have some kind of knowledge about the Israeli-Palestine situation. I do. I read the book of Ilan Pape's work, The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. I read Norman Finkelstein's book, The Gaza and Inquest into its Martyrdom. I read Avi Shlaim's book, A Memoir of the Arab Jews, his recent memoir, and other articles Avi Shlaim has written. I've listened to their talks. I've read Shlomo San's book, I read a lot of things about this issue. So I understand, I have a very wide-ranging an idea of what's going on about the issue. And I've thought about it long and hard. Very, very long and hard, because I couldn't. My mother, being who she is, as Jewish as she is, she's not going to stop supporting Israel. So I've always felt that the moment I saw what was happening there, I had to start disagreeing with it, and I couldn't stand that my mother was supporting it. My mother's a very moral person, and yet this is the one blind spot she seems to have. So I wanted to do something about it, and I wanted to correct it and stop it, because I just saw that this was going to make my mother start to change a certain way, and she started doing that, obviously, as things. But anyways, you can't support, a cultural annihilation and ethnic cleansing and an oppression and domination of another people without it doing something to your soul. It's going to do something to you. So that's what I was always worried about Israel the Jewish people that live over there, and including my mother as well, because she's supporting all this. But I can't talk about that right now. I have to talk about this very issue that I think is going to destroy my country that I live in. because the left has no power and it's just dismantling itself from within because this very dumb tactic to decide to take over. Well, not the left. I don't accept that it's left, but the only party that decided to, that had some leftishness to it, the Democratic Party. Once upon a time, it was actually kind of like liberalish and leftist and so on. Now it's just straight up liberal and no longer leftist and full of nonsense. And I don't know what to do about that. You know, other than just point out that I all the disagreements I have about it. So the first and foremost thing I want to talk about is the fact that I'm, as a Hispanic trans woman, how I can foremost and tell you that identity politics is not the tea. It doesn't help anything. A lot of you out there will tell me, oh no, well look, you need to understand other people's pronouns. You need to go all around and asking. My partner hates it when they ask her about her pronouns. She tells me straight up, it's like they're asking me what kind of genitalia I have. The moment they ask me what are my preferred pronouns, they're telling me, they clock me and they're asking me what is my genitalia, and that's how I feel. And I don't know how to argue against her. Can you argue against her? Because I can't. That's how she feels. But this whole situation with identity politics and having everyone have this whole thing about, oh, everyone is, you know, we have to ask everyone each other's pronouns. You have to be very, very woke, aware, this, that, and the other is nonsense. It doesn't do anything. I can tell you straight up that I felt much more safer 3 to 4 years ago than I did now. I just do. And I did. Things are getting worse. And we're still getting more and more woke. So if we're getting more and more woke, but I'm starting to feel it being worse, then what's going on? See, this is the thing. It's just that you being concerned with my pronoun and me being and all these things and my preferred pronouns, and it doesn't answer anything politically about me. It doesn't adjust my maternal interest. Not even a little bit. Not even a little bit. Because I was still homeless during the whole time you were all preaching trans rights, trans rights, transgender bathrooms, transgender bathrooms. I was still homeless. So as my partner, we were homeless together. We were on the streets. Oh, and by the way, we went to a lot of our transgender brothers and sisters to help, for help. Of course. What happened? I don't know if I should say this or not, but it's truth. We go for them for help. And then, oh, yeah, you can have I have like this little area. You can have my couch. You and your girlfriend can stay on my couch and all that. But just make sure that every once in a while, just make sure that when your girlfriend's not home, that you know that you have to, you know, give me that booty every once in a while. Or if, you know, if you don't want to do that, you can just, you know, give me head here or there. Straight up. That's not a joke. Again, many may think I'm joking, but I'm not. When I was homeless, I went to help for my transgender community. The community says that's mine. The one that says that there's always there. They said it's a community. First and foremost, that's what they said. The transgender community. It's not a community. It's a lie. It's a woke liberal lie. There is no transgender community. Communities do things for each other. There was no one there. Not once. And every person that we went to wanted some sexual favor in return. Just like the deviants that supposed society says they are. Oh, the trans community hates to be called deviant. Oh my God. Oh my God, it bothers them so much. You can find them on your Facebook profile right now. Many of your transgender friends, right? And what do you find them doing?
And they go and they post their, you know, themselves in their panties and bras. And, you know, you see them in their little thigh highs being all cute and girly. Very strange, but, you know, that's what they do. They tell me that, oh, I'm just being inspired. You can't slut shame me. Okay, girl. I can't slut shame you. You told me that you were going to let me sleep on your couch if I sucked on your female, on your supposed feminine penis. Girl, bye. Girl, bye. You're just another man. As far as I'm concerned, you just acted like a stereotypical man to me. Yes? Does that hurt? Is that too politically incorrect? Well, it's the truth. It is the truth. Someone needed to say these things about everything that's going on because it solves nothing. It solves nothing to be, oh my God, I know it makes you feel better. Because acts of confession and confessions of guilt are very useful therapy. But they are very good at making you feel that that's enough and you don't have to go on any further. Because it made you feel better. It didn't make me feel better and everyone else feel better, no. But it made you personally feel better. Just like when you go to Starbucks and you pay the extra $1 donation for a single feed, you know, someone in Africa, that's what they say. Or more likely it says to plant an extra tree. Would you like to donate an extra dollar? Every dollar goes to funding planting a new tree. And you say yes. And there, your good deed of the day is done. I just get really frustrated. I'm at the point of frustration because I still remember how difficult it was for me to get a job. I remember how difficult it was for me to get a place to live. All of these things that are not being addressed. They're just not. These fake leftists, these fake liberal woke people, these woke nonsensical human beings pretend to care, but they truly don't do anything about anything. It's all about making themselves feel better. That's all it is. It's making themselves feel better. Themselves. Have you noticed? No, Missy, have you noticed? Who are the ones who complain about white oppression against others? It's usually other white people. The whites have been dominating other people in this, that, and the other, and it's usually another white girl. Embarrassing herself in front of Ben Shapiro, obviously, or, you know, Charlie Kirk. A nice young white girl. Almost always. Well, it's because, you know, black folks have to, because of their prerogative and because of their plight, have to think deeply about these issues. They have to think deeper about them. They have to go above and beyond to demonstrate their plight. Unlike your white privileged ass. Who wants to make yourself feel better by being, I'm so pro-trans. I called her she. Even I can see the stubble all over her face. I called her she. I'm so progressive. Right. I really never understood how someone could yell at somebody else who clearly has never been aware of anything in this world. Who's just a mechanic, who just focuses about getting up in the morning, having some breakfast, going to work, making money, going back home to say hi to their kids. Say hi to their kids. They fix your car up throughout the day. That's a mechanic and all that. Oh, and guess what? What was the mistake? they made a mistake about your gender pronoun. And instead of you, you know, being a good human being and doing something to educate them, to make them aware of the situation so they don't do that to anyone else. Be aware, educate, enlighten, do things to make sure that that situation doesn't happen again. And make sure that that person understands that in a very deep level, what that did to you. No. Instead, what do? You blow up, call them a transphobe, cuss them out, yell, angry, and usually with a very deep, offensive, and a very deep, manly voice. But you want to be called she, her. It's and the thing is that all this identity politics crap, it's very clear. I mean, I was reading Norman Finkelstein's book. I just started reading it. I'll Burn That Bridge When I Get There by Norman Finkelstein. I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God. Me and my girlfriend have been talking about this for like the past 2 years, and we were talking about how we need to start writing about this, and Norman Finkelstein's been doing the same thing. I just couldn't believe it. It's like he was reading our mind. I could not believe it. Obviously, he didn't go to many different aspects that me and my girlfriend would have addressed because, you know, he doesn't have the gender identity immunity. Can you really call me a transphobe? Many will probably call me a self-hating tranny. Because you guys are that messy. You guys will go that far. Sure. But realistically, I haven't done anything wrong. And no, I haven't said anything wrong either. Realistically, you guys, no one is out there addressing transgender material issues. Transgender bathroom laws doesn't help me get a job. It just doesn't. It doesn't help me get a roof over my head. So that's why I'm very resentful for all this identity politics crap that destroyed the Bernie Sanders campaign. Oh, it really bothers me to the core. Because Bernie Sanders had an actual systemic analysis there. It was there. And he was growing an actual working class coalition. Genuinely colorblind, which bothers people. I don't know how saying I want to live in a colorblind society. I want to live. Saying that I wish the ideal is that Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream, where the color of no one's skin, that no one is judged based upon the color of the skin, but by the merit of their mind. I know that's not what he said word for word, but that's paraphrasing what he said. They're judged based off of their mind, the presence of their mind, the Cartesian rationalist element of many different thinkers. Being a Cartesian rationalist, you just care about someone's mind. That's why I love Descartes. It's because I love being, any Cartesian rationalist like Spinoza and so forth will obviously tell you that you cannot exclude any human being on this earth if they have a mind. That is the essence of humanity. You can't be a Cartesian rationalist and be a racist, as Noam Chomsky famously reiterated. It's true. You can't. Because you either have a mind or you don't. But no. See, because I have my own... Oh, I swallowed incorrectly. I have my own criticisms of Ibram X. Kendi and White Fragility by Robin DiAngelo. But I want to talk about today specifically about the identity politics regarding transgender issues. Because that's very immediate for me. And it also lets you all know something about me immediately is that I'm just happen to be trans. I think you all knew that, by the way. And that's why I have very few followers and so on.
but that's just a fact. This is me reopening the podcast. This is just me doing a small little rant. But this is just a small little sneak peek of what's coming. What's coming is deep analysis, deep thinking, deep leftist strategic analysis and analytical framework that will help others create an intellectual self-defense that they don't have, that's necessary, that's important. I hope that we'll be able to grow together and build the intellectual self-defense together. If those of you have been listening to me for a long time, please, if you're on Spotify or anything like that, please send me an email. I mean, send me a message. Respond to me. Do something. Do something so I can contact with my audience, because I want to hear from you. That's all I really care about, is what your own thoughts are. I want to create a dialogue. The whole purpose of this is for me to put my voice out there, for my friends to be able to respond. And they were doing that for a little bit. And then they started getting other people listening. And I couldn't believe that they were listening. I couldn't believe that they were. But they were. So now, there's a different purpose now. Now, I have the ability to focus on this podcast in a very deeper level than I was able to do before. I'm no longer homeless. You know, I have specific days off during the week that I can focus on. I have I'm still with my girlfriend and we're living a great life together. So I worked really hard to, me and her, she worked substantially harder than I did. I would just be honest about that, to get us out of this muck. And I'm just so happy overall that there was a light at the end of the tunnel, and yet now the stranglehold came back. I'm no longer homeless, but I'm starting to feel the same weight on my chest as if I was. I'm starting to feel the same shortness of breath again, and the same feeling that my heart's going to pop out of my throat. And at the end of the day, I'm starting to realize that it's just that the situation in this country is just getting too bad. And as I read more and more, I started reading that other people are genuinely suffering, hurting, and they're in the same boat as me. And the fact that if it was just me suffering, I would just let it go. I'll be honest, I wouldn't care. I'll just let it go. But then I see my girlfriend going through it, my neighbor going through it, my whole complex going through it, whole Shark Street going through it, most of Portland going through it, and now I can't. I can't deal with it anymore. I'm starting to feel like I need to say something about it. I need to say something about Joe Biden. I need to say something about all this crap, because I started talking nonsense about Trump. But I don't want you to think that I'm here to talk about shit about Republicans. No, 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 no. That's not what I do. We live in a uniparty world with one party. It has two factions, two right-wing factions, the Democratic and the Republican Party. One is center-right, the Democratic Republic, and one is extreme radical right. And that's the Republican Party. Once upon a time, all the political, you know, attributes that you can apply to Obama would have been applied to, let's say, Eisenhower. Eisenhower would have been considered a Barack Obama Democrat today. That doesn't say anything good about the Democrats. And what, if you're going to start telling me, by the way, oh, why are you politicizing all this crap?
A lot of you guys like to politicize stuff.
Yeah, and since I'm trans, by the way, I'm going to start making my ways deep and all this because I really don't give a fuck anymore. I'm gotten to the point where I don't care about anything. I'm just going to go off. You really don't know how far this podcast is going to go. This podcast is going to blow your brains out, everybody. If you thought you agreed with me, you're going to hate me, maybe. And if you've been on my side from the beginning and you even agree with this message today, then you're going to love me forever on end. But I plan to be a voice for the disenfranchised who've been kicked around and who've really been left behind. And I mean, not just, I'm not talking about trans people. I'm talking about poor people. I'm talking about black people, Jewish people. I'm talking about all the folks in this world who have been screwed. Who have been pointed at and said, you did this to us. For no reason. For no reason. Because I understand the historical record in a very deep level. And I don't mean to brag, but I'm tired of pretending false things about me. I'm tired of pretending like I don't go to the library every day and spend 5 to 6 hours every day at the library peering through historical documents, reading through various different philosophers like Immanuel Kant's Critique of Pure Reason, or Baruch Spinoza's Ethics, or Hegel's Phenomenology of Spirit. Or like I wasn't just recently going through Bertrand Russell's essays. It wasn't probably an essay, it was probably a book on mysticism and logic. I read too much Noam Chomsky. Way too much Noam Chomsky. But of course, why wouldn't I? If you have a Jewish brother who's going to go ahead and is going to establish and epitomize the Hebrew, the Judaic tradition of justice and love of humanity on top with a Cartesian element on it? Oh my God, you're so wrong. Of course I'm going to love him forever. There are 5 people on my wall right in front of me that I look at every day. 5 pictures. Only 1 vanilla face. And that's Noam Chomsky. I'll tell you 2 other faces so far. One is W.E.B. Du Bois. And the other is Dr. Cornel West. Yes. And the 1 vanilla face is Noam Chomsky. Absolutely. Absolutely. He's been an inspiration to me. Absolutely. I cannot deny that. He created an intellectual self-defense that, and a moral commitment that was built and ingrained within me. That I can't deny it. I just can't. So I won't. What I will do is that I'll continue this podcast and I'll record another episode. This was just an introduction, bringing me back into the play. I'm just, you know, it was just ranting and venting and all that. This wasn't me. It wasn't based off of coming with ideas and then planning. I just said, you know what I need to do? I need to turn on my phone, press play, record, and just talk. Let the world know. And the people who were listening to me that I listened to, that I know that they were listening. And I apologize. But I will continue. But it's not going to be the same continuation. It's going to be the same deep analysis you saw before, but it's going to be at a very deeper level. Much more intricate. Much more scholarly. Much more academic. I'm going to put to shame a lot of people who made you and I look bad in this life. Doesn't matter if you're in Germany, if you're in France, if you're in Iran, if you're in Honduras, if you're in Bolivia, If you're in Australia or if you're in America, United States of America. If you're poor, disenfranchised folk, I'm with you too. And I'll always be with you. And that's why I'm starting this podcast again. Because the left has to have a voice out there who shits on the nonsense, who counters the identity politics, that's willing to ignore a class analysis and address people's material self-interest, things that really matter in their lives. I can't ignore it, and I won't ignore it, like many Democrats have. And I understand a lot of history that many of you guys haven't known. By the way, I've gotten way more aware historically than ever before. You guys are going to be shocked to see me. And the proof isn't going to be in the it's going to be in the pudding, obviously. And the pudding is in the eating. So eat it up.